comfortable too soon. Jeez. Welcome to House Church. My name is Billy. Tonight is the third and the last part of our House Church teaching series on discipleship. In October, Brian taught on brothers and sisters in the faith. And then in November, Josh taught on spiritual fathers and mothers. And then tonight, I'm going to talk about spiritual sons and daughters. A recording of all three of these teachings will be available if you guys want those as a resource, or if you'd like to just pass them along. I know they've been a blessing to me, and I've passed a couple on, so they've been very helpful. I'm just going to pray before we get started, so if you guys would, just please pray with me. God, we love you. Pray that tonight you would use this teaching to better equip your saints, and that you would use it to lead us all into a deeper, more mature relationship with you, Lord. I know that I'm not feeling 100% tonight, so I pray you would calm my nerves and just help me out. I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of this good work that you're doing here in Taylorsville, Utah. You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. So if you were a Christian, which most of you, if not all of you in this room are, you are a disciple of Jesus. Okay, the word disciple can also be translated to learner. So we are learners of Jesus. We are his students and he is our teacher. Okay, this goes without saying. It's a given. But also in Matthew 28, Jesus tells his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So if you've been going to this church at all, you realize that we just pound this drum. This is one of our favorite verses. We share this all the time because it's the Great Commission. This is the commandment that Jesus gave his disciples to go out and reach the world. There were a small amount of people on the mountain where he gave this command. And because of that small amount of people obeying this command, we're here tonight. And every other Christian on earth is there. So that's pretty cool. So not only are we Jesus' disciples, but we're also disciples of the people who have poured their lives into us, the men and women who have poured their lives into us. They are our spiritual fathers and mothers. And then Jesus' command continues to us, to the spiritual sons and daughters, right? So to be obedient to Christ, we must also go. We must also make disciples. We must also baptize and teach them to obey Jesus' commands. Becoming spiritual mothers and fathers to new Christians and people who aren't as far along in their faith as us, their spiritual walk with God, that's pretty straightforward, right? This is the gospel. This is the Great Commission. I'm confident that all of us in this room understand this biblical model of discipleship. I've got no question about that. As Christians, we should all have spiritual fathers, spiritual brothers, and spiritual sons. As Christians, we should all be spiritual fathers, spiritual brothers, and spiritual sons, or spiritual mothers, sisters, and daughters, if you're a woman. So I feel like one of the hardest parts for me is that we're a pretty young church. So, I mean, at least for me, the idea of having spiritual children who are about as old or older than me is kind of a harder thing to embrace. But really, age shouldn't be a qualifier in this at all. There shouldn't be a qualifier in who's a spiritual son or daughter or father or mother. Look at Jesus' life. Some of the disciples were probably about as old as Jesus or older. He had Peter, who was married. You had Matthew, who was a tax collector, and some of those guys left their businesses to follow Jesus, and they willingly submitted to him, submitted to his authority, even though they may have been his same age or older. And also, just because we were considered spiritual father to somebody or mother to somebody doesn't mean that they can't be considered our brother or our sister still. I wouldn't hesitate for 1 minute to call Josh or Steele or Brian or Bill or Mac my spiritual father just because of the amount of life they've poured into me, the amount of time and effort and just love that they've showed me. But at the same time, I consider them my brothers. I consider them my dear brothers. So there is a dynamic here that I would imagine applies to most of the people in this room. And we don't go around declaring ourselves somebody's spiritual father. Hey, I'm your spiritual father. I'm your spiritual father, okay? We don't go around doing that. It happens organically. So I guess the biggest thing I want to drive home tonight is Once we lead somebody to Christ, or once we find ourselves discipling somebody as their spiritual father or mother, what are some practical things we can do to help them grow and become more mature in their relationship with God? That's what I want to hammer tonight. I have 4 young children. Most of you all know them. And I know that it's my responsibility as a father to meet the needs of my children so that they'll grow into mature, self-sufficient, kingdom-minded individuals. Okay, it's my responsibility to provide my sons and daughters with things like protection, love, nourishment, training. These principles also apply to our spiritual sons and daughters. So here are some practical things we need to focus on when we're discipling our spiritual sons and daughters. I wanted to keep it simple. I have 2 things. They're relational and provisional. Relational. Gets a little more complex than 2. Sorry. First thing in the relational aspect is follow-up. I cannot emphasize enough how important follow-up is. When we lead somebody to Christ and become their spiritual father or their spiritual mother, it's our responsibility to follow up with them. It's our responsibility to make sure they are set up for success. Because our main goal is to make disciples, not just converts. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, not go make converts of all nations. When my youngest daughter was born about 1.5 years ago, I was in the hospital's nursery. I was giving her first bath, and there was this dad sitting over in the corner just smiling from ear to ear, looking down at his baby, just Googling over her, and they were holding hands, and he was kind of playing with her, and it looked like it was his first time. So just making conversation, I looked at him and said, "Hey, congratulations, bud. Is this your first one?" And he just kind of looked at me and said, "Nah, 5th. I was like, "Oh, wow, all right, cool." And he goes, "I drive trucks, so..." Just smiled and shrugged. Now, I should believe the best about this man, okay? I should believe that he's a wonderful dad, and he's just very passionate about driving truck. But the way I took it is he was telling me that he goes a lot of places. So he has a lot of biological children out there. Let's not be the kind of Christians who go around making spiritual orphans. Okay, let's go around and make disciples. God is good. There's grace here. I can think of a number of people who have led to Christ and we've lost touch. It's good for us to remember that God is the founder and perfecter of their faith and of our faith. Okay, not us. So let's just be sure to follow up when we lead somebody to Christ. Okay? This means when we're on a mission trip or a fun bus, and God gives us the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, if we know we're not going to be able to be in their life, and we're not going to be able to disciple them, we need to keep in contact with them, and we need to make sure that we're able to give them information to get baptized and to get plugged into a church. We all know how to work Google. We just look up a church where they're from and just encourage them to get baptized, encourage them to get plugged into a local church. Exchange phone numbers and email addresses. On the other hand, when we lead somebody to Christ here, or when somebody in this church becomes our spiritual son or daughter, it's so important to make an effort to have a relationship with them. Brian taught on this in October. He did a great job on this point. We need to be intentional in our fellowship. We need to be super intentional in our fellowship with our spiritual sons and daughters. Jesus was with his disciples for 3 years, and they did everything together. They traveled together, they ate together, they went camping together. I always wondered how Peter's wife felt about that. I'll ask in heaven, I guess. But really, if we want to see people become mature Christians, we need to make sure that fellowship with other believers is readily available for them. We need to be intentional in inviting them to some of the church, invite them to church, some of the church activities we do. I mean, we can invite them to church. We can invite them to Bible study. We can invite them to after-church hangouts, Sunday fun days, men's nights, ladies' nights, prayer nights, fun nights, all of the other things that this church does to encourage community. Men and women, Brian, Josh, and I, we don't organize these things and plan these things because we're bored and we have nothing else to do. We organize them because we know that the more we hang out with each other, The more we're in each other's lives, the more we invite people to join us, the bigger impact we're going to have on this valley for Jesus. So please, please, please take advantage of these opportunities. There are so many of them. Invite that guy from work. Invite that girl from class. Come enjoy fellowship with other believers. Bring your kids. This is a good point to say, your kids are your number one disciples. Your number one disciples. I was at a pastor's conference a while ago, 2 years ago, and Josh McDowell was teaching. He wrote that Evidence That Demands a Verdict book. Very, very popular Christian writer, very smart guy. But we're just sitting there watching him, listening to him, and he says, "And one thing you guys need to know is that your family is not more important than your ministry." We all kind of look at each other like, "What?" I was about ready to get up and walk out, and I hear Bill Young, "What?" And everyone's just, hundreds of pastors are just looking at each other. And he said, "Yeah, that's right. Your family is not as important as your ministry." He said, "Your family is your ministry." I agree with him. Your family is your ministry. Your kids are your number one spiritual sons and daughters. Never forget that. Show them what it looks like for mom and dad to go out and live a Christian life. Show them what it means to be a Christian. If we're going to be discipling well, we need to be in each other's lives. Amen? So one of my old closest friends, he became a Christian right before Ash and I got married. This is in 2007. He was one of the guys that I shared the gospel with, but I didn't quite know how to finish it, so I sent him over to Steele's house. Him and I worked together for a long time. We listened to Buck 65 tirelessly. I'd always sleep on his couch, and when I moved to Denver to join that band, he was going to move out there with me. It was this close, but he decided not to. When I moved back to Utah, he was the biggest supporter of my wife and I getting married. He came with me when I sold a whole bunch of guitars just to make sure I went through with selling them. He was one of my closest friends. There's a special place in my heart for this guy. He was in my wedding, and after Ash and I got married, while he was still very, very young in his faith, he got a job in Alaska. He moved away, and we kind of lost contact with each other. When he came back about a year or two later, every time I saw him, I was all gung-ho about holding him accountable still, like I did when he left. And so I'd see him, give him a hug. "Hey, man, good to see you. Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible?" Don't get me wrong. These questions are great to ask if you're in close relationship with somebody. But if you're not in somebody's life, if you aren't in fellowship with them, especially for as long as I was out of this guy's life, it's going to make them feel like they're just a project that you've kind of forgotten about, right? I'm pretty sure this is what happened with him and I. I really wish I could go back and focus on just loving him and reuniting with him, on building a relationship and becoming his friend again. Because I'm sure in his mind it wasn't about a brother who was just loving on him, asking him if he was reading his Bible. In his mind, I'm sure it was this religious guy who was asking if he was still following the rules, right? Relationship is so important. If we're going to be asking people questions like that, we need to make sure that we're in a very close relationship with them. Another big thing is making sure our spiritual sons and daughters know that they're loved and they're accepted. It would break my heart if one of my daughters or my son didn't feel loved or accepted by me. Sure, we're going to have some people walk through that door that we wouldn't necessarily hang out with in normal life if we weren't Christians. I mean, Josh Whitney, 10 years ago, Josh Whitney, he had a career, he had a family, he had a house, and then I come walking through the door, and I have long hair, I haven't taken a shower, a huge mustache, I barely had functional pants. And he made a choice to invest his life into me, into this new believer. And because of that, now he's one of my closest friends in the whole world. Brian Edwards. I'm sure we ran in the same circles together, but Brian was a singer. I was just a guitar player. Somehow, by the love of Jesus, Brian found it in his heart to love me and accept me. And now he's one of my best friends in the whole world, too. Now, Jesus' disciples, they had all sorts of different backgrounds, right? All of those guys had different backgrounds. You had Matthew, who was a tax collector. That meant he basically turned on his country and worked for the Roman government to collect taxes from his countrymen, from his people. And then you had Simon, who was a zealot, who hated the Roman government, and he hated tax collectors even more. But these guys, they were able to love each other, and they were able to see past the differences, because at the end of the day, they understood that their calling to love one another was more important than their comfort zone. Okay, we need to make sure that our spiritual sons and daughters, the people who walk through that door, who we're investing our lives into, we need to make sure that they know they're loved. They know they're accepted. Even though they may be a bit of a strange ranger to us at first, we need to love them. John 13:35 says, "All men will know we are his disciples if we love one another." All men will know we are his disciples if we love one another. Imagine what Utah would look like if every Christian in Utah lived that verse out. Imagine what Utah would look like if us in this room lived that verse out. Another part of the relational aspect of discipling is that we need to focus on accountability. We need to focus on accountability. We all need to have accountability in our lives. We all do. And as part of a spiritual father's relationship, we need to have gracious, open, honest lines of communication. Four really good questions to ask if you don't know what to ask. You can ask him, "Are you reading your Bible?" It's a pretty innocent question. Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying your Bible? Are you memorizing verses? Are you praying? These four things are important for any Christian who wants to see measurable growth in their life. Sure, I get it. We all get busy. There are seasons when waking up before work and reading my Bible and praying just seems like torture. I mean, literally, season after season after season of watching Jeff Probst snuff torches saying, "The tribe has spoken. The tribe has spoken." Season after season. Staying up with my wife. But I need to ask myself, do I want to grow? Do I want to grow? Do I want to see measurable growth in my life? Having someone or a few people to hold me accountable to reading, studying, memorizing, and praying, it goes a long, long way. Guys, sometimes the conversations, they're a little bit harder, right, when it comes to accountability. But as spiritual fathers and mothers, we need to ask those awkward questions. We need to have those difficult conversations. How's your marriage? How's your purity? Are you looking at things you shouldn't be looking at? I notice you've been kind of harsh with your kids lately. What's going on, brother? These hard conversations, they also strengthen our relationships with one another. They add a whole different element of trust and love and grace and acceptance. Second area we need to focus on with our spiritual sons and daughters is providing for them. Provisional. Just like we provide protection, nourishment, and training for our children, a new believer or a spiritual son or daughter also needs these provisions. Protection. Let's talk about that. One of the most important things is we need to make sure our spiritual sons and daughters are 100% certain that when they die, they're going to go to heaven. If you're a Christian, you need to be 100% sure that if you died, you would go to heaven. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. They need to have absolute confidence in their eternal security. Once we become sons of God, he adopts us. And God would never unadopt the people he came and died for. Are your spiritual sons and daughters 100% sure that if they died, they'd go to heaven? That'd be a good conversation to have. When they get a knock on the door from someone who's preaching a different gospel than Paul taught, when they're having a conversation with a guy at work or a girl at work about how Christianity is different from other religions, they should know that it's okay if they don't have all the answers. They should feel protected because they know they can call us and we can help them. We need to help protect them by equipping them with solid doctrine verse by verse, precept by precept, to protect them from false teachings, Satan's attacks, and false accusations against them. Sometimes this is another awkward conversation. We need to protect them from themselves sometimes. Brother, I accepted your friend request on Facebook, and I noticed your timeline was just chock full of women who aren't your wife leaving you posts. I understand, you know, God doesn't want us to have even a hint of sexual immorality in our life, brother. So you should go through your friends and honestly consider deleting all the friends who are going to cause you to stumble. It's a difficult conversation. But as spiritual fathers and mothers, we need to have those kind of conversations. It's also important that we provide them with spiritual nourishment. Encouraging them to take notes during the message at church. Encouraging them to read the verses that we're about to study, a Bible study, before they come. By encouraging them, helping them work through their questions and concerns with Bible verses. By letting them know that you're praying for them. By making an effort to pray with them. By teaching them to feed themselves from the word and prayer as they mature in their faith. It would be completely ridiculous if your mature child came home from skateboarding and practicing kickflips with his buddies, walked through the door for dinner, sat down, put his bib on, and had you feed him beech nut. That would be ridiculous. That doesn't happen in real life. We shouldn't let that happen with our spiritual sons or daughters either. It's not that there's a lack of spiritual food, because the Bible is, I mean, it's a buffet of spiritual food. There's tons of spiritual nourishment in the Bible. We just need to teach them how to feed themselves. Very important. The mission of this church is to win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. We do all sorts of things to win the lost. We do outreach things. We do Sunday fun days. We do Taylorsville days, West Fest, all sorts of things to reach the lost, to win the lost. Build the believer, teachings like this, and helping equip people on how to disciple people. We've been doing that for the last 3 months here. And sending the sanctified, that's why this church is here. We were sent from Salt Lake to come here to share the good news of Christ with people. The best way to do this is to lead by example. Are you going to outreach things? Are you pouring your life into people? We need to make sure that we train our spiritual sons and daughters in the mission of Christ's church. And making disciples and how to feed other people spiritually, giving generously to the church, and giving generously to others. Like I said, the best way to do this is to lead by example. If we are passionate about loving people, if we are passionate about sharing the Bible with people, sharing what God's word says, and spiritually feeding people, if we're consistent in our reading and in our prayer life, if we're consistent in our generous giving to the church and giving to people who are in need, our spiritual sons and daughters are going to pick up on that, and they're going to follow in our footsteps, because that's what a Christian does. They see that, and they see that that's what a Christian does, and they're going to follow in our footsteps. You guys are doing great. I'm encouraged by the discipleship and the generosity that I see in this room. So those of you who are doing these things, I thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Keep it up. Heaven is going to be different because of your sacrifice, of your time and of your money, of your loving people. So thank you. The end goal in all of this is a year from now, 5 years from now, 10, 20, 30 years from now, there will be mature men and women who know God very personally because of what happened in this room over the next couple of weeks and couple of months and couple of years. That's the goal. That's the goal in all of this. Because of the effort of the men and women in this room, we will multiply into countless men and women who know how to transition a conversation into the gospel and know what to do when they get to the end of it, if they believe. Men and women who read and study their Bibles consistently, who study Scripture and have a consistent prayer life, that's the goal. Men and women who know how to feed themselves and to feed other people from God's Word. than are women who give generously to the church and to the people in need to advance the kingdom of God. Men and women who are faithful, available, and teachable, because those are the kind of men and women who are going to take this great commission and run with it. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you." I'm with you, Jesus says. Always. All the way to the end. This is a call to all of us. Okay, let's not wait for the lost people to come to us. Let's do what Jesus said and let's go to them. That's why this church is here. Because we came out here because we wanted to come out here and reach the lost. Go, he said. God's plan to advance his gospel and his kingdom is to use people. People like you. People like me. People like everybody in this room. That's his plan. To use us to make people disciples, to baptize them and to teach them what Jesus talked about. That's his plan. He advances his kingdom with people. I love this quote from Leroy Ames, or Eames. I'm not quite sure how to say his last name, but either one works. He said, "Just imagine what God could have done to get the good news of Jesus Christ to a needy world. He could have arranged the stars to spell out John 3:16 in every language. Every language on earth for all to see. He could have put an angel into orbit broadcasting the gospel in every language. But he didn't. He chose to use people. He chose to use people like us. Brothers and sisters, this is called discipleship. The discipleship. I'll pray. God, I pray this teaching was helpful and applicable to our brothers and sisters in this room. Pray that you would do mighty things for your kingdom with this core group of believers here at the Rock Church West. We're just gathered here tonight, eager to hear from you. We trust that you have great plans for each of our lives, Lord. And we know that in the end, you win. We know how it ends, God, and you win. We love you, Lord. And say these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.